Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Hey, welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. Okay, a little behind the scenes out here. It took us like, I don't know why, but I just stumbled the intro like so many times. Like I just, whatever.
Yeah, I know why it is.
You forgot the word flicks.
Yeah.
This is the first time you didn't say, hello, and welcome to, that's how you normally open it.
I said, hey.
Hey. Thing.
I don't think you've ever done that.
Nope. You know what? Since I'm just stumbling the intro here, I think I'm just going to pass the ball off to Mark here for the intros. You got it, Mark?
Absolutely. So, our illustrious host who can't remember the word flicks, I'm just going to open up and introduce him. John Lasvath loves Legends of the Fall so much, he grew his hair out and pursued bad relationships, so when they broke out, they could travel the world and cry on boats. When his money ran out from so much travel, he moved to Canada and fell prey to the zombies up there. During his undead time, he met an Australian woman who loved him so much, despite the fact that he was all gross and dead. Together, they battled really mean zombies, and her kiss turned him human again. Nowadays, John is recovering from being a zombie and living a pleasant life selling records to pretentious music snobs.
Best summer fling ever.
Yeah.
Did that just finish with an Empire Records reference? Is that what that was?
High Fidelity. Oh, but that could be Empire Records. And the guy just speaking, John Levengood. John Levengood loves the movie Definitely Maybe so much. He wrote a 475-page opus called Definitely Maybe is Definitely Not Something to Be Put in a Corner. On his book tour, he met a woman in France, and the two of them walked all night and eventually decided to meet 10 years later. During that time, John got amnesia, and when the 10-year mark hit, the French woman came and found him. She spent every day with him, and the two found love despite him losing his memory every 24 hours. They're currently wedding singers.
I love that you had the Julie Delpy before series in there, but you see, when I think of her, I actually think of American Werewolf in Paris, and then I just think of seeing her breasts when I was a teenager.
Maybe that was her,
and that was a good teen fantasy kind of movie for a dude. So I appreciate being included in that little montage.
All right, and so we have John and John the regulars, and welcoming back is Robert Lamb. This is your fifth podcast with us, and I just want to introduce him and let you know a little bit about his life. So Robert loves Lost in Translation so much, he started an acting career so he could do whiskey commercials in Japan. He recreated every step and was finally arrested for whispering something secret in too many women's ears. While flying back from Japan, he found out an enraged former employee rigged the plane to blow if it went below 700 miles per hour. The pilot got sick from bad fish, and he and a woman had to land a plane while going 700 miles. After the plane landed, the two of them got engaged, but she ran away from the altar. He is currently emailing a very kind woman.
Yeah. Wow. Honestly, like, I know a lot about movies, but I only got the Lost in Translation reference. That was it.
Yeah. No, I think that woman
I threw some airplane in there
was like the same one I hooked up with.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
Yeah, so these introductions, we did a pod prior to the four of us about creating the perfect horror film, and that was a blast. We decided to come back for, you know, to create the perfect rom-com dram. So welcome back, fellas.
How's it going? Thanks for having me back on here.
So how you feeling, Laz Matthew? Get this going?
Well, let's see. The last one that we did, it was a horror movie we put together. It was a very interesting movie that we assembled. It was a lot of talk of crossbows, tentacles, let's see what else there.
I just remember the crossbow.
Yeah. I don't know.
We had a fish killer. We had a fish killer who wore overalls, shot a crossbow. There was a secret island. There was Swedish researchers. There was a guy named, what was your character's name? Jigsaw? What was his name? You had a bottle opener.
Mason Jar.
Mason Jar.
Yeah.
Mason Jar.
Yeah. Didn't he also wear overalls?
The craziest horror film.
Or was that the monster?
Yeah.
I think the monster wore overalls.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had a crossbow that he could hit people from land.
Right. So before we get started on this, which is the rom-com drama movie that we're going to put together, which characters are going to wear overalls?
Oh, in mine, ones I picked, like, everyone is wearing overalls and even the extras.
What about tentacles? How many tentacles are we going to get here?
No more than four.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
So it's like Feel the Dreams. Feel the Dreams meets...
Half of an octopus.
Yeah.
I don't know any movies with evil octopus. What are evil octopus
or
movies?
Or two-thirds of a squid.
Yeah. The Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's true.
Clash of the Titans. That was an octopus or a kraken?
Yeah, I think it was a kraken. Right.
Well, the kraken had the low body of like an octopus.
I guess. So he's a hybrid.
Yeah. But so did Ursula. No one questioned the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, because that lady's terrible, man. Cruella DeVille's worse. And then her, for sure.
All right. Before we get started on the rom-com assembly here.
I'm getting flashbacks. Cruella DeVille.
I think we have listener questions. Living Good, you got the questions for us this week, right?
Yeah, I do, in fact. And because I'm the one asking people for the questions, naturally when they think of me, they think of horror. And anyone who listens knows that's quite a trend. So here are horror questions for our rom-com drama podcast. Question number one comes from Buddy from Camden, New Jersey. Buddy, by the way, is a childhood friend of mine. He asks, and I'm sure this will enrage Mark.
I already don't like it.
Why did the makers of Insidious ruin their creepy masterpiece by making the demon look like he was wearing a dollar store Darth Maul mask?
Oh, hold on. Before anybody answers that, Robert, you actually went to the Insidious house recently, didn't you?
Yeah. At Halloween Horror Nights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually had a haunted house based off the Insidious house.
Yes, they did.
Heck yeah.
And I went in it. And at first I thought it was just the ending shots of Phantom Menace.
Okay.
But it actually wasn't, and it was an Insidious house.
Oh, okay.
There's just a lot of Darth Maul inside.
Okay.
Just a lot.
So...
No. Right. No, guys. No. He is the lipstick demon. There is no relation to Darth Maul and his stupid thorned head who gets knocked out, cut in half, lame. This guy is pure evil. He has a weird haircut. Like, he's like bald on the top. He has hair going around the sides. He's all black, and he just puts lipstick on his face to mess with people. Like, why can't there be more than, like, you know, two demons in this planet? I bet he was there before Darth Maul ever was. Well, I mean, this guy is terrifying. He's home to one of the best jump scares of the last 15 years.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the movie was made by James Wan. The movie is made by James Wan, who is basically a master of making excellent movies with really low budgets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just it was supposed to look cheap on purpose, but it was cheap and scary, if that makes any sense.
Also, isn't he a fan of Phantom Menace?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's his least favorite. When he walked out of the Phantom Menace, James Wan said, "I will never do anything that is remotely close to the Phantom Menace."
Well,
I don't have that on paper.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait,
I need that on paper.
John, you wrote that down in your file cabinet there at Shark Dropper, and you threw it on the ground, right?
Yeah, it's somewhere around there.
See, we got proof.
Yeah,
but is it signed by James Wan? Because if it's not signed, no notary.
I signed it.
Oh, you signed it.
With my name.
Well, the guy who played the red lipstick demon said that. Now, he did not ruin the movie. You know, we just did this poll. You know, we did the best 21st century horror films, and then took people voting for their favorite 21st century horror films that don't appear on top 10 lists. We had like over 5,000 votes, and Insidious was the clear winner. So it wasn't ruined by some red Darth Maul type dude. I get the similarity, but I love that creature. I think he's like the biggest jerk with no backstory. He just wants to invade the human world. He's like a demon. Supposedly, he's like the head of the Further. At the end of Insidious 3, she looks at him and she's like, Elise. So, like, nah.
Here's what makes like that movie great. It didn't really matter what that demon looked like. Like, the demon's look was inconsequential. Like, it was just the movie was scary. Like, for a whole bunch of reasons other than the demon, you know.
Yeah.
You had, like, the family who was scared, a great performance. You had, like, the Elise and, like, her two assistants. And then you had, like, the little fancy, like, camera tricks. And then you had, like, the really cool, like, cheap-looking furter place. But it was effective. I don't know. It was just a really well-made horror movie. And, like, the monster was just, like, it was just the look of the monster was entirely inconsequential, I thought. It didn't really ruin the movie.
I am the biggest Star Wars fan on the planet. John Lazavath, you're wearing a Star Wars shirt right now. But when I watched that movie, I did not think Darth Maul once. That didn't even cross my mind. Now that I look at it, I'm like, oh, yeah. But
okay, in all fairness, I did think that right away.
Yeah, because you would.
I think the real issue is just why Rose Byrne looks so much like Queen Amidala. I mean, that's me.
Listen, you guys could talk, like, bring facts and figures and, like, oh, James Wan loves Star Wars, so he put a Darth Maul in there. And I would still be like, no. So, like, this isn't based on logic. I just think it didn't ruin the movie.
Yeah, I'm kind of middle of the ground on this. So I really, really enjoyed Insidious. But to me, it felt like three different chapters that were from three different movies or stories altogether. And that was the third chapter, if you will. So if I just look at that third chapter by itself, where we meet lipstick demon?
The lipstick demon. Yeah.
So when we meet him, if I just saw that chapter, I think that he works really well in that chapter. But when I was watching the movie in its entirety, when we were shifting those chapters and meeting him in the further, I was partially annoyed, but it had nothing to do with that demon. Yeah. It was just that we were going from, like, the mist, you know, just being introduced to almost like in the movie Poltergeist, like there is another side, but, you know, are we going to see the other side? This is what's going on with the other side. And a lot of movies that dealt with that historically don't really take us there. They just imply it. So when we went there, it was a big shift in gear for me, and he happened to be associated with it for me. Do I think that he ruined it? No. Do I think that it looked like a cheap dollar store, anything? Not really. And just in case someone did think that, this was a part one of a Blumhouse. Yeah, part one of one of those Blumhouse films. And Mark, you know, I mean, they don't have big budgets. What was the budget for that part one of Insidious?
1.5.
So, look, I don't think that the lipstick demon looked cheap or anything, but if anyone out there does, you're watching a movie that went to theaters and was very successful on a $1.5 million budget. Most movies with that budget couldn't even afford any one of the actors in there that I recognized.
I think you couldn't
I'm
even
more
afford
worried about
caterer.
How he decorated his place, the red lipstick demon. Like, there was, like, puppets and, like, does he go to – where does he shop?
I think they shot that in, like, the inside of a dollar store.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say Big Lots, but yeah, sure.
See, just that comment annoyed me. That's how much I love these movies.
Well, you know, okay, so Buddy's a good friend. I was, in fact, the best man at his wedding. So, Buddy, thank you for the question. You were met with a little adversity in terms of opinions of the demon.
I think it's a great question. I do. I think it's a very relevant question.
I could be wrong
question.
About this, but wasn't Rose Byrne one of Queen Amidala's decoys in Phantom Menace?
Wasn't that
Keira Knightley.
But she had more.
It was yet another woman who skips too many meals.
There you go.
Right.
She looks like Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
That's where I got my all the confusion came from. Yeah. The Darth Maul thing, never thought of it.
Okay,
but Queen Amidala, all the time.
Okay, so Rose Byrne was never Queen Amidala. I think that's the answer to our question.
I'm kind of upset I was never Queen Amidala.
Yeah. I mean,
I think more people should have been Queen Amidala.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough. Keira Knightley, you need a few more than just that.
He can digitally insert us in there. I mean, George Lucas is not past that. You know what
special
I mean?
Edition
I think
of Star Wars 1?
My head weighs as much as either of the is either Natalie Portman or Keira Knightley's entire body minus their head.
You have a 90
my head is the equivalent.
You have a 90-pound head?
Yeah. I don't think that the rest of their body weighs 90 pounds.
What about Anne Hathaway? She'd have been a pretty good Amidala decoy, right?
That'd have been good.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence would have been kind of like the spicy one. Like, she's tough in action.
Anna Kendrick would have been the funny, spunky.
Yeah.
Like a decoy.
Like Kristen Stewart. The awkward one.
The awkward, kind of morose looking one.
Who just stares off into nothing like she's been lobotomized.
I want to see this movie. Just like the grown up Amidala decoys getting together for like a kind of like a decoy reunion.
Oh yeah, Lizzie Kaplan would be like a good sarcastic one.
Brie Larson would be like the somebody.
the community like version
yeah.
of
yeah.
that.
No, it's Alison Brie.
Oh, well, both of them.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Hey, Gillian Jacobs, get her in there.
Yeah, why not?
Joe McHale, Chevy Chase.
I want to see this movie.
Almost all
reunion. He just wants to see a Community movie now.
Yeah. All right, all right. Let me go. What's our second question?
So our second question comes from one of my friends I've known since grad school. As it turns out, I was in his wedding too. David from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, asks, and he did not know what the first question was when he came up with this. Who played the best supernatural villain? For example, a demon or fallen angel.
So who or what?
I think you can answer that however you want. I'm actually sitting here wondering if you're going to say the lipstick demon.
The red lipstick demon.
Man.
Dude, that scene where Patrick Wilson is, like, talking, and then you cut to Barbara Hershey, and then you cut back to him, and red lipstick's right behind him. Yeah, and then there's a scene where he's in the bedroom, like, pointing at that kid. He's just a jerk, man. I hate him. So, yeah.
So when you
say, is that really your answer?
Yeah.
I was curious if that was going to be your answer because of that.
I'm going to talk about him the whole – I'm going to make a romantic comedy out of him.
He could use it. He's had a rough life, I think.
So when you say supernatural, like it has to be like a ghost or a demon, like a
like he said, for example, demon or fallen angel. I didn't get into it, so I don't know if he was trying to restrict us to that category or if he just meant supernatural villain.
I think he just wanted to prevent like a Hillary Swank conversation.
I was about to say, like, if it's a fallen angel, then wouldn't that automatically just go to like anybody who played Satan? Like, wouldn't he just be like,
or yeah, demon? He said demon or
fallen. Well, even still, like, Satan would be like the ultimate demon.
So, like,
right?
Paranormal Activity is a demon.
Yeah, well, he's good until, like,
is he worse than
named Toby? The demon from the first Paranormal Activity is good, not the rest of them.
No, that demon is
Toby's
lame.
A demon, or is he just a poltergeist?
He's a demon.
They say he's a demon, apparently.
Yeah.
They say he's a demon?
I thought that they say that in the first one or something.
I don't think that grandmother was really that educated. She might just be misassigning that word.
Listen, anytime like a guy that deals with demons walks into a place and goes, yeah, this guy's bad news. He doesn't want me here. Peace. Like, you know, that's when you know you got a good demon on your hands.
Yeah, that's a good demon.
a good bad demon. or as John Lazbeth was alluding to, you got the devil from Constantine, a good Euro devil.
Yeah, wasn't that Peter? No, it wasn't Peter Stormare, right?
Peter Stormare.
Yeah, it was Peter Stormare.
Wait, what movie?
Yeah,
Constantine.
Oh yeah,
the devil in Constantine. That's actually my answer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's just a good Euro devil.
Yeah, the Constantine was an underrated movie in my opinion. By the way, it was a good movie.
So, wait, no one's going to pick, what was that, not Priest. What was the other one with Paul Bettany?
Oh, those
Legion.
Are the worst.
Legion.
Legion.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Legion. That one?
Wait, was
that
he?
That movie's terrible.
He wasn't a fallen angel in that, right?
Yeah, he was a fallen angel.
Yeah. Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I thought
that's
he was
exactly
fighting
what he
fallen
was.
Angels.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like.
He literally said, I'm a fallen angel.
That's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
But it had Charles S. Dutton. I haven't seen him in a lot.
That's true.
And Dennis Quaid.
Oh, man.
No way. Peter Stormare all the way.
Oh,
and Peter Stormare, by the way, on Twitter, people were going crazy when I posted an article on Twitter who did the devil best, who did Satan best in movies. And everyone's like rallying behind Peter Stormare. And he comes into that movie and he's dripping like steaming tar from his feet. He walks like he's lumbering and aching. He talks with these weird pauses, not just because English is his third or fourth language, but either way. And his eyes are all messed up. It's like he's literally hungover from a late night of torturing souls with the Hellraiser Cenobites.
Well, no, with pineapples.
Ooh.
Or with pineapples. Well, I'll let you touch on that one.
Yeah.
Wasn't Harvey Keitel the devil in Little Nicky, and he was shoving pineapples into Hitler's butt?
Oh, God, that's such a cute
and scene. And Hitler picked, like, a little pineapple, and he's like,
Yeah.
I just remember Dan Marino, like, trying to make a deal with the devil. Like, please, just let me, like, play in the Super Bowl. Poor guy.
I would. Can I choose Elizabeth Hurley in Bedazzled?
Or you can. Like... She's also in the article that I put up.
Okay. Or who is it? Raquel Welch in the original. I think that was.
Wait,
her.
Is it, you know, is the movie Bedazzled?
Yeah.
That sounds like you like
or
put
bedazzled.
Some like, glitter on a backpack.
Yeah, it's bedazzled. Or it's better than vajazzled because that's like a thing.
I think I might have seen that one too. Yeah. I think, okay, here's my choice. It wasn't Peter Stormare. It was Billy Zane from Demon Knight.
Oh, gosh.
It was just so fun. Like, that's another, like, bad movie that I love. But he just played, like, this kind of, this demon trying to, I forget, like, what was he trying to?
He wanted something from William Sadler.
Yeah, yeah. But
I think he just found a relic of some sort somehow.
Yeah, but for some reason, like,
and no one else really knew that he had it.
The house itself that they were in was kind of demon-proof. So, like, the whole movie, Billy Zane was just taunting them. And just, like, he was just, like, cracking wise, like, the whole time. It was just great.
He's like, I'm Billy Zane. Why don't you come out of the house? It's a good thing that Zoolander wasn't there next to him back. It's like, you should listen to your friend Billy Zane.
And this is Billy Zane before he just kind of gave up. You know, this is when he still kind of cared.
And he still stood up in movies. Yeah. Like his latest ones, he just sits in chairs.
Yeah. He plays the bad guy. He just sits in a room like the whole movie.
The Journey to Promethea or something like that. And then
Terabithia?
No. Some Promethea, some bad movies. Just in a chair. And Blood Rain.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Is it because he's gained weight like Stephen Baldwin?
I think he's just lazy.
like Stephen Baldwin.
Dude, Stephen Baldwin needed a jogging double in Sharks in Venice. There's a scene where this guy's just jogging and it wasn't Stephen Baldwin. He can't even jog on screen anymore.
Right. So I think that's our answer. Stephen Baldwin needs a jogging double.
I like it.
That's
fair
the
enough.
Answer to our question. All right.
There you go.
Thank you to our listeners for their wonderful questions. We hoped we enlightened you to your questions that you had. Probably not. You're probably even more confused now. That's okay. That's the that's kind of the goal here at Movies, Films, and Flicks.
Yeah.
Just to confuse people.
What were we talking about?
Exactly. All right, Mark. I'll throw it back to you for the rom-com drum assembly hour.
Yeah, so none of us are going to pretend here. We're all fans of romantic comedies, romantic dramas, romantic comedies, with a little bit of drama, romantic drama with some comedy. I mean, you talk about Say Anything, About Time, Love Actually. There's some really, really great films out there, so we're not going to act like we're all tough and we don't like them. So today we just came together and we have 10 questions, and we're going to put together a hybrid romantic comedy drama. So basically just think like a Say Anything or like a Love Actually. So it's not like a straight-up McConaughey failure to launch romantic comedy. It's more of like a high fidelity or Gross Point Blank rom-com drama. You know, we want some heart, but we want some romance. You know, we want some comedy. So I have a feeling during this next, you know, hour, we're going to be crying. We're going to be smiling. We're just going to leave this podcast better people. And
a lot of sleeves will be moistened with bro tears.
That's right. So our first of 10 categories is our questions. Is the first question is, what character does John Cusack play? Now, I'm like a John Cusackian, I think. So I love Say Anything, Better Off Dead, One Crazy Summer, High Fidelity, Gross Point Blank, Serendipity, Must Love Dogs, Love and Mercy, Con Air. Yeah.
Con Air for the rom-com.
It's a bromance. It's a bromance.
Nicolas Cage is just trying to get back to his wife and daughter.
That's like, true.
That's right.
Nothing more
that's
romantic
right.
than that. Yeah.
So I guess I think it would be perfect if he was the dad of either the lead character, either the lead actress or the lead male in the movie. So I think he should be like a former karate MMA champ because in Say Anything, he was a kickboxer, right? Mm-hmm. So he traveled a lot. He was never home. His wife left, you know, then another wife left. And then, you know, finally he got too old. So now he is just currently living, try to build a relationship with his kids. And he's teaching karate, MMA, everything like that. So you got like a nice Say Anything callback from when he was a kickboxer.
Yeah, I kind of went like in a similar direction. Like I... just as for reasons you mentioned, like he was just a huge stalwart in like these romantic comedies. So I feel like it would be cool if he played like kind of like the mentor mm-hmm. to like the new kind of maybe like a John Cusack Jr. type. That's not, he's not really like John Cusack Jr. But like it'd be cool to see John Cusack. Okay. Like it'd be funny if he said like something like, kid, I've been in your situation like before, you know? So I'm going to tell you like, I'm gonna tell you like how it is and like how it's gonna go. Like it'd be, I feel like that scene would be like, it'd be like super meta. It'd be super funny, and it'd also be a little bit heartwarming to see John Cusack like kind of pass the torch.
You know? And he would be like, let me tell you about this one crazy summer, right? Where I thought I would be better off dead, where I couldn't say anything right, you know?
Exactly. Like, it would be so cool to see John Cusack play a mentor to the new kid.
Basically. You know how people cheer when, like, lightsabers come out during Star Wars films? If John Cusack said that during a movie, I would jump up, spin kick, kick everyone's popcorn out of their hands, and just, it would be my favorite movie automatically. Like, I'd get another bad Florida tattoo about that movie.
You wonder why I don't go to the movies with you anymore.
He always wants to see John Cusack once.
It's just the hospital.
Like, you're buying the popcorn.
Yeah. Oh. It's a living good. What? Inside joke, guys. Sorry. So 11 good. What character would John Cusack play there?
Yeah, I think that I have a feeling that we all were really channeling in the same, you know, logical direction here. But so I too was thinking, yeah, he's probably going to be like the understanding father, and I'm thinking specifically of the male love interest, like the male star of this movie that we're Frankensteinianly making here. And I think it would be like an interesting meta role, you know? It's almost like the role would make reference to, but without actually saying the characters' names or movie titles. Like, he'd make reference to all these past experiences of his while he's giving advice to his son, and they'd be like indirect references to like all of his other rom-com or rom-drums, like something in Serendipity. Like, yeah, there was this note in a book once, and, you know, I lost it, and I had to, like, weird little things like that. And I think it would be perfect, and he's the perfect meta role for that, and it's a nice nod. And he is at the age where, you know, we're well past must-love dogs, but I still want him in these movies, and this is how I think we can comfortably do it. I think that he'd be a good dad, do you know, like, I don't know, Zac Efron or whoever our male lead would turn out to be. Yeah.
I knew you were going to say the F.
Dude, Zac Efron is going to be my remake of Neverending Story, Riding Smaug.
He's not proven in romantic comedies. He's good in like Neighbors and other movies, but his romantic movies have been lacking.
Also,
he was
high
great
school
in that awkward moment.
Apparently. Oh.
He was great in that awkward moment.
I hate that movie because she walks in with bourbon and she goes, hey, guys, I got some scotch. Like it was a bullet bottle. Oh, yeah. I was like, what? They didn't even do enough research to look at the bottle on that. Nice. All right,
maybe,
so Robert.
Maybe the girl just didn't know her liquor.
Oh, no. Imogen Poots does. I'm sure of that. It was a line. I'm blaming the writer. All right, Robert, what character does John Cusack play?
Pretty similar to what everybody picked. I said the single father of the main character, the guy character. But I think that through the movie, he should be like in a coma the whole time. And then at the very end is when he wakes out of his coma. Cause like the main character keeps going to visit him. He wakes up out of his coma and that's where he says all the life lesson stuff. And it really changes the main character's mind about whatever's going on.
Or the life lessons could be flashbacks with the main character.
That's true. Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I did say that he was a fighter, you know, so maybe he had like a bunch of concussions. And
he was fighting Chung Li in blood sports.
So he goes into a coma from all the head damage that he's taken. So in the beginning, you meet him, right? And then
I feel like life lesson should be at the beginning instead of the end.
Okay, so he gives life lessons in the beginning. He goes into a coma.
Yeah. And then he asks how they were at the end when he wakes up.
And then they repeat the first half of the movie when you just tell, yeah, Dad, so this is what happened.
In the beginning of the movie, he says, look, son, the secret to happiness is, and then he goes into coma.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. And then he wakes up, he's like, and he's about to say it, but then like the main character's like, don't worry, Dad, I already know what the secret to life is.
But then he just says it anyway.
And then he's like, Dad.
You don't have to say anything, Dad.
Yeah, don't say anything.
All right, so Cusack, coma, Cusack.
I think the common thread is like he's a mentor.
So he's the single parent. That goes into gives life lessons
it
or
seems,
attempts
it seems
to.
Oddly appropriate that he's single.
Yeah. So he gives life. He's about to give life lessons. He goes into a coma because of his too many kicks to the head.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wakes up. He goes to share the life lessons, and the son goes, "Don't say anything, Dad."
Yeah. Oh man, that's a good one.
But then he says it anyway.
Yeah, just because he's kind of like a jokey dad.
Hey. Pulling at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, man, like Rocky's like, yeah, you think as many hits to the head as me.
Is that what Rocky or Sylvester Stallone's doing in the Apollo Creed movie?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll probably be in a coma the whole time, too. Or at least look like he is. Yeah.
You gotta throw the right. And then the all right, so we have John Cusack as a single father who goes into a coma and then can't share any life lessons. Perfect.
Then he can't say anything.
Yeah, then he can't say anything.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Perfect. All right. So the second one, Robert, where does it take place?
Okay, well, I went the time travel route, so I put everywhere.
All right, everywhere.
And anywhere. Wait, and anytime.
Time travel, not teleportation.
Yeah,
it's
time travel. If you said time travel, don't you mean anytime?
That's what I meant. Anytime, anywhere.
Good job.
Everywhere. Wait. Oh, so not everywhere. Anytime.
Not anytime. 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 Okay. In a given spot.
If you had to narrow anytime, mm-hmm, down.
Yeah.
How would you do it? Like.
What do you mean?
Let's just say like.
The 40s.
You want to prune this tree called anytime.
The 40s.
The 40s.
Okay. 1968.
The 40s.
I want it like right after World War II or during World War II.
During World War II.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Someone's gonna go to war.
All right.
Just saying. That's.
I love
predicting
it.
Okay, it's going to happen.
Where in the 1940s?
Paris. Okay. No.
Paris?
No.
Right, like, right after the liberation of Paris?
Casablanca?
Yeah. Very Morocco. We'll do Morocco. That's
Morocco.
All right, yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay, Morocco.
And all the gin joints in all the world.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Lazavath, where are they at?
I want to see them in like a southern city. You know? Like I kept Sweet Home Alabama was like the first movie that came to mind when I read like this question. I'm just like, I thought it was like really kind of funny and also kind of heartwarming that everybody had like a southern accent, you know. Maybe,
but they're all
like
racist.
That's what makes it so endearing. Yeah.
Was it like Gone with the Wind? Racism. Is that what you're saying? Like,
yeah,
he wants a Gone with the Wind,
maybe
Sweet Home Alabama.
Like, maybe
crossover.
There's like a southern themed bar in Morocco for like expatriates or something
for people who are missing homes.
It's, yeah, it's almost like how in Atlanta there's a bar that's for Gators fans.
Yeah, no, and when I lived in Korea, there was a bar that was like just for Canadians.
Okay.
And like there were really salty Newfoundland people.
I mean, Korea is basically the Canada of Asia.
I like it. Yeah, a lot of expats.
Yeah.
Friendly.
So the whole movie takes place in an expatriate bar in Morocco.
There you go.
Where it's like everyone talks in a southern accent.
All right, what do you got, John? Living good?
Dude, I was going to say Philadelphia. Like, okay. And my reasoning was just because everything else seems to happen in New York City, Miami, Chicago, or L.A., so I was just going to pick Philadelphia. I thought Philadelphia was like an easy, organic place for most of whatever we came up with to all work.
So was an expatriate
bar. Guys played this Morocco card.
I mean, Silver Linings Playbook was in Philly. That was good. Invincible. But the problem with Philly is everybody would just be so angry. Yeah, I said it, Philly people.
People would be,
you know,
hold nice
on. You
shots fired.
I shit you not. On the radio today, I was listening to an article that revealed the 10 sports teams that have the most tolerable fans. And number 2 was Philadelphia.
Most tolerable?
The most tolerable?
One just came out where they were the worst.
Which group of fans?
The good side. You're mistaking other cities.
No, I'm not mistaken. I 100% read a post saying Philly were the worst sports fans.
Well, maybe he's talking about.
No, I remember. You're right. You're right. They were the worst. Tampa Bay was good, and people were joking because they don't win enough.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, never mind. I got it backwards.
Yeah. Philly's just like.
Well, maybe it's different for like the Eagles and, you know, the Phillies. Yeah. So certain ones are better than others.
I grew up 8 miles from Philly, and I got to tell you, like, it's really not that friendly a place. There's no brotherly love. I was just picking Philly.
What if the expat was from Philly, from Morocco?
And then he ends up in a certain expatriate bar.
An Eagles bar. Wait, not in the 40s.
Why not? Wow. Eagles
All right, so I had Austin, Texas. But, I mean, that and Morocco are the same thing.
Yeah,
so, it's pretty similar. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of open spaces. You know what I mean?
It's pretty
like
hot.
Wild West,
hot.
You know, like,
yeah,
hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. There's so I guess.
Everywhere.
Oh wait, but we're doing any time. So you're literally saying this whole thing takes place in the 1940s Morocco in an expat bar owned by a guy from Philadelphia.
I'm going the time travel route, but you guys don't. I mean, we don't have to. It was just Yeah. I don't know. I want a lake house. I mean, lake house wasn't really that, but
I liked the lake house.
So we have Morocco, and where do we have? Oh, Keanu's the best, man.
Oh yeah.
Wait, was that the? I always forget. Was Keanu in the past or in the future in that movie?
Does it matter?
My brain just exploded.
No, because didn't they send a letter?
Who was like, the other one? Sandra Bullock, right?
Yes, yeah. It was like their big Speed reunion, and they did that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was just a sequel to Speed. Speed a real one, yeah. A real sequel. Not that Speed 2 crap.
So they're time traveling between Philly and Morocco?
So they're time traveling and teleporting, evidently.
Are they jumpers?
Yeah, because they can't be. Oh, they're jumpers. Yeah. They're like Hayden Christensen.
So they're time traveling jumpers that go from a Moroccan expat bar to Philly.
As long as it's completely understood that Hayden Christensen isn't allowed to even have a cameo in this movie.
No. Okay. But he can do, he'll get a coffee for everybody on the set.
He can handle the craft catering.
Yeah, craft services.
All right, so we're saying Philly and Morocco.
Yeah.
It's done.
Okay.
Sure.
That works. My two favorite places.
Yeah, all right, so
we've gone through 2 out of 10 categories. This movie's already getting a little bonkers.
All right, so now our third one. Is the main character a prostitute with a heart of gold or a bad boy looking to go straight? So Levengood, I mean, it could be anything. I'm just thinking of tropes from like Pretty Woman or these kind of films. What are our main characters like?
All right, so I didn't go either of those specifically. I went a little cliche still, though, and I'm thinking like, you know, it's like Zac Efron and maybe Anna Kendrick. And I'm thinking that, you know, like Anna Kendrick is probably like a power suit wearing young lawyer, like executrix kind of person. And then like our Zac Efron is the more impassioned with what he does and underpaid person who's maybe a civil servant with a popular blog and an editorial column and like the Brooklyn Hipster Daily kind of little tiny pretentious periodical. And I like to think that they probably went to school together and are friends now.
All right, Lazabeth, what do you got?
Okay, so I didn't want any of them to be architects because I feel like there's an architect in every romantic comedy I've ever seen. It just seems like it, right?
Yeah.
Like
I can't think of an architect.
Oh, no, there was an article. Like, why is everyone an architect in I forget what article it was, but yeah.
I can't think of, like, ever seeing an architect in any other genre. Like, whenever I see an architect on screen, it's always, like, a romantic comedy.
George Costanza always pretended to be an architect, so it's got to have some merit.
Well, he pretended to be a lot of things. Didn't he also pretend to be a marine biologist?
One time, but he always went with the Art Vandelay is an architect, so.
Right. All right, so I decided to go, like, really literal here. Like, I wanted the prostitute, like, maybe she has, like, a heart problem, and so she meets, like, a former thief. The thief, like, falls in love with her, and, like, he ends up stealing, like, a pacemaker made out of gold for the prostitute.
Nice.
So the prostitute has a pacemaker made of gold. And
okay.
And then the bad guy goes clean just for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's working.
Okay, so he's a thief who steals a gold-plated pacemaker for her?
Yeah.
All right. And I just found out Keanu was an architect in the Lake House. Zach Braff was an architect in The Last Kiss. Matthew Perry was in 3 to Tango. Sleepless in Seattle. Tom Hanks. My Super Ex-Girlfriend, Luke Wilson. Love Actually, Liam Neeson. Just Like Kevin, Mark Ruffalo. And It's Complicated, Steve Martin.
See? Told you.
Architects.
Damn.
And the guy from The Matrix.
Oh, well, yeah.
And House Sitter, Steve Martin.
Yeah. All right. So, for me, I picked... like a mob spectacular now. And so I don't really like the Apatowian, like men child or like the mixie, like 40-year-old still live at home type people. So I wanted like a dude, like a Lloyd Dobler type. That's like, you know, 20, 21 years old, you know, still has a lot to learn, but they're sure of themselves. So I kind of like that. That would work well with like Cusack, like a Miles Teller, cause he was awesome and spectacular now. And Ebert compared that to, Say Anything. And then there's an actress. She was in a movie called Beyond the Lights, Jupiter Ascending. Her name's Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Sorry if I destroyed that name, but she's like a really, really good actress. She's going to be in new Star Wars. So like, I thought it'd be like interesting, like the two of them. Like, I don't know. Like, and also, I love Zooey Deschanel from 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
Because she's not like a manic pixie chick. Like, you know, Kirsten Dunst and Natalie Portman from Garden State, a lot of people call them manic pixie chicks. But I like Zooey Deschanel from 500 Days of Summer because, like, I love that relationship because he wanted it, she didn't. They kind of let it go further than what it had to be, and they both left it better people. Like, she wasn't, like, this readily available person that furthers the story. So, yeah, I just got, like, these two people meeting. Maybe, like, they're both, I don't know, maybe they're both taking after John Cusack's steps, and they're both, like, fighters. I don't know. There's a lot of MMA, Ronda Rousey. So, like, an MMA couple.
All right.
And neither are prostitutes.
Funny good. Nice.
All right, Robert, what do you got?
All right, well, like, okay. I'm just going to say that when I was coming up with these questions, the two people, for some reason, that I had in my mind as the main actors for this movie was Cary Elwes and Ally McGraw. And I don't know why, but that's what I picked as the actors and actresses, or actor and actress.
I can see why you picked
Cary. Hey, Princess Bride.
Yeah. So anyways, I figured that the male character is actually a crooked gigolo. Like, he's just like, he's... It kind of goes with your thief thing. Like, he's a thief, but he's also a gigolo.
Okay.
And then the woman is just, she's just a hard-nosed businesswoman. Like, just a hard-nosed, hard at work, trying to do everything.
Like, Levin Goods, executrix.
Yeah.
I think I said that right.
Yeah. But, and somehow they just cross paths in Morocco.
Okay.
that's it.
She was there on a business trip. He was there in the middle of a heist.
Right.
So yeah. They were both thirsty in the middle of the night.
Time traveling, teleporting heist.
Okay, yeah. So then we have Zac Efron, Anna Kendrick, a gigolo juggalo. I mean, wait, he's not a juggalo. He's a gigolo.
He's a gigolo.
A gigolo.
He could be a juggalo.
He's a juggalo gigolo.
We have Cary Elwes and Ally McGraw. Then we have Miles Teller and Gugu Mbatha-Raw. And then who did you see, Lazvath?
I didn't come up with any specific actors. I just came up with, like, kind of...
Okay.
Like,
he wanted them both to be Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
He also wants Zac Efron. Okay. So I think it makes sense to have, like, a hard-nosed businesswoman meeting, like, a thief type, like a rakish thief.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's why she's in business there, and he is, you know, a thief, so he just travels.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what should their names be?
Oh, man.
Let's see.
Frankie and Johnny.
Frankie and Johnny? Okay, Frankie and Johnny. So their names are...
The girl is Frankie for, like, Francine, and Johnny is Johnny for John.
I like it. Frankie and Johnny. One's a hard-nosed businesswoman, and the guy is a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
And think about that. When a girl goes by Frankie, that sounds, like, tougher. When the guy goes by Johnny, it sounds less hard than John.
Now, do they both time travel?
No, only one of them does.
Oh, okay. Well, which one?
I don't know.
Oh, a twist. Yeah. So early in the movie.
Yeah. So, does he have to steal something from Morocco to get him back? Like, his
he's
jump
stealing the time travel device.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. He has a time travel device stolen in Morocco.
Yeah.
So he gets... Push Wait. To the future or push to the past?
It's like
how about
the almanac and Back to the Future.
Yeah,
yeah. What if
she likes Casablanca a lot? So he goes back to that time frame for some stupid reason and gets stuck there.
Or what if she is from that time and he's not, and he has to go back to get her?
Hmm. Oh man,
he has to meet her.
Oh, okay,
back.
Yeah, he has to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's from Morocco, a businesswoman in the 40s. She's like selling, you know, ammunition. I don't know. She's part of, like, the wartime, you know, peace process, like trying to put the world back together.
I see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay.
She's using our hard business knowledge to really get that done.
Okay. So Frankie and Johnny, he goes back to Morocco, time traveling, and meets her. And then he has to decide whether to go back because his dad's in a coma. But if he goes back to put his dad back in time so his dad doesn't suffer that last concussion, he can't be with her.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
This is getting intense.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm almost starting to weep right now.
What do you guys think? Does this work?
I think so.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
I've seen romantic comedy.
What do you think, Levin Goods?
I think that we're about three categories in out of 10, and this is becoming one of the most eclectically either distracting or interesting rom-com drums. It makes me think of when I saw the trailer for that movie with Bill Nye and Brandon Gleeson. Oh,
about time. Dumb Hall Gleeson.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And so, like, that movie, like,
when I saw the trailer, I'm like, I don't know how that could possibly make sense. But then I saw it, and it actually all worked out pretty splendidly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we're on our way to some solid gold, or the most schizophrenic rom-com ever. We gotta feel this through. Where could we possibly go next with this?
All right. So the fourth question is: in what way will Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock be involved? So you know, in the '90s, they basically ruled romantic comedy dramas with Runaway Bride, Notting Hill, My Best Friend's Wedding.
My Best Friend's Wedding.
While You Are Sleeping, about a woman who pretends to be another woman while a guy's in a coma. I mean, you know what we say, our romantic comedy, rom-com drama's getting weird, but I mean, if you think about like The Lake House and like You Were Sleeping.
And The Proposal.
Yeah, I mean, those movies are all bonkers too anyway, so I think we're right on par. So, Lamb, what do you think, Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock, how are they involved?
This is what I have. For the lead character, the woman character in the movie, I think they should be her two moms, and they're lesbians.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So did they adopt her,
or did one of them conceive her, or
they
adopted?
They, I think it was maybe a sperm donor for one of them. They raised it, and then the other one was, you know, the father figure more, and they raised her from a baby.
So let me get
so which one is the father figure out of Julia and Sandra?
I think Julia's the mother. She's the one who carried, yeah. I think...
Is this because Sandra Bullock was in Speed?
Because Sandra Bullock was in Speed, Gravity, and she was also a hard-nosed woman in Blindside. So I think she just should be more the father figure.
Okay, so they're in Morocco, right, in the 1940s. So this kid that they have is probably in their 20s. So I'm assuming in 1920-something... Julia Roberts had the kid, and then they were a couple in Morocco.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of spinsters. Wait. They were a lesbian couple in Morocco in the 20s?
Yeah. It was harsh times. That's hard.
So they're even, all right. So then they own the bar, right, with Bill Nighy, because he's the best.
Right.
So I guess what I was going to say was they were both the ex-wives of John Cusack, but he's in a coma the whole time. So it kind of makes it. You know, they don't really, that doesn't really work. So, Levengood, where did you have them in here?
So I had no Julia Roberts, to be honest. When I was thinking of this, I don't really like her in romantic comedies at all. Like,
really?
Ever.
All right. She just doesn't do it for you?
But I love me some Sandra Bullock. No, I think that Julia Roberts does well in romantic roles, but they're romantic roles in dramas, not things that you'd call romances. Like in Erin Brockovich, that little side romance she had with the biker, that was cool. But like when she does her rom-drama stuff, but just they're movies I never want to see again, except for Notting Hill, because Hugh Grant is gold. But
oopsie daisy.
I love me some Sandra Bullock. But I love me some Sandra Bullock though, and I was thinking like. She would be the what in my head was the counterpart of John Cusack, where she's the maybe single mother of the female love interest.
Okay, so she's the mother. So we have two people saying she's the mother of the female love interest. Lazavath, what do you have?
See, I took like a different tack once again. So I decided to go with. So for Julia Roberts, I decided to go with her character from Runaway Bride. I feel like throughout the movie, she would like make quick cameos. Like you see her in a wedding dress and sneakers just like run through like the background of the scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just like sporadic moments throughout the movie. And then Sandra Bullock, I think it's perfect because I feel like she should play her character. She played in While You Were Sleeping. Like her character could take care of John Cusack's character in our movie while he's in the coma.
But she's not a nurse or anything?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe she went to nursing school after the events of the movie. So now she's a nurse, like an actual nurse.
Okay.
So, yeah. I feel like it all fits perfectly.
But they're not lesbians.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I left it open. Who knows?
Like in the movie, you never specify anything. You don't talk about it. Well, and then, like, you have these weird, like, ambiguous hints. Like, getting along well, or are they getting along well?
Yeah.
Wait, so we had two people saying she's the mom of the female character. Then we had a John saying that she's the nurse from While You Were Sleeping. And she's an actual nurse now.
Taking care of John Cusack's character while he's in a coma.
Right. Does she just basically dab his head with like sponges and that's the extent of it?
Yeah, she has no speaking lines.
And then Julia Roberts is running around in the background.
Again, yeah. No speaking lines.
In the wedding
dress. So what do we like better? The two of them with no speaking lines or the two of them married in 1940s Morocco with the lead female character?
I'll accept them being married in a lesbian couple if Julia Roberts is almost like the grumpy 1950s factory worker husband role where she basically never talks. She just grunts and sneers.
What kind of factory do they work in?
Sandals.
Okay.
Which industry do they work in?
Yeah.
Wait, they make sandals in Morocco?
that's what John just said. Yeah.
Or the Sandals Resort.
The first Sandals Resort opened in. So they either work in a. So they make sandals.
They make sandals at the Sandals Resort. Okay. That's where it got its name.
Oh. Yeah. In Morocco.
Okay.
And wait, I have a great thing. They can be the this would be amazing. They are, you know, we have her running in the background. We still have her being the nurse, but then we also have them being the parents of the main girl. Just do it. Why not, right?
No, because how about this? In the future, they have different jobs, and one of them is she's just running away all the time, and Sandra Bullock is a nurse now when she's older.
But she's like a Jimmy John's delivery person because they're really fast.
Yeah.
How about this? Instead of like Julia Roberts working at a sandal factory, she works in a sneaker factory.
And that's where she gets
the sneakers from. She's actually testing out the sneakers. I don't know why she's
Morocco?
In a wedding. Yeah, I don't know why she's in a wedding dress, but
yeah. It's Halloween.
Oh, okay,
when we see her in the future.
All right.
So they're making shoes at a resort at a gin joint in Morocco, and then in the future, they're nurses and Jimmy John's delivery people.
Right. It's a good tie-in.
Yeah.
And you get some, you can kind of promote, you know, Jimmy John's throughout the movie. Yeah.
What do you think, Levengood?
I love Jimmy John's.
There you go.
Like, I actually want that right now. Even if Julia Roberts is handing it to me, I'll take it.
It's the bread. Something about the Jimmy John's bread.
All right, so she makes shoes or does she run the factory?
I say Julia runs the factory.
Maybe she makes.
Maybe
yeah, for the kids.
She whips Indonesian sweatshop laborer children.
Yeah, and
making the sandals.
They make shoes for all the people that lost their shoes during the war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you have to do is ship them north.
Okay. All right, so I have, right now on my thing, I have Jimmy John's, nurse, and shoes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Parents.
All right.
So before we head to the break. We have a movie where John Cusack goes into a coma and then his thief son goes back to Morocco where he meets a woman at a gin joint in a sandals resort and her parents are Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock and they make shoes for all the children who lost their shoes during the war and the guy has to save his father but he falls in love with this girl. So that's the quandary we're in right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to see where it goes from here.
Well, I think...
Right now, though, this is the point where we're just like 20, 25 minutes into the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is only act just one.
And there's like 15 minutes of movie is like a Jimmy John's commercial.
Learning who the characters are and where it is. This could be the first...
I love it. All right.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, this podcast has not been brought to you by Jimmy John's, but now's a good time to let you know who actually sponsors us, and we'll be back in a minute.
If Jimmy John's brings me a sandwich in the next 30 minutes, we can do an ad for them.
Shark Dropper Studios presents to you the
Force is strong in my family. My father had it. I have it. My sister has it. And you have that power too.
There he is. Back to work.
I had to protect my investment.
Investment?
Julianne Good. The whore with the dead fiancé.
I just hope I can help.
Your reputation precedes you.
If you don't open this fucking door right now, I'm gonna break it down. Go, go, go. Hurry up. Go, go.
Mr. K!
It's Jimmy Jones. He's missing.
Go find him, Tubby.
Polly, we're home.
Doppel Avenue Hurt, Season 2, brought to you by Shark Dropper Studios.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks.
That was lame.
Yeah, what? We're coming back from break, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
What are you doing right now?
Okay, so I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. The first half of this episode was recorded maybe like 2 weeks to what the present date is now. So, because we had technical issues the first half. I think we've ironed out all the bugs since then. But, yeah, it's kind of weird starting a podcast like 2 weeks later. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, it's going to make our rom-com drama even more random because
I just remember something about Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock, them running a shoe factory and like
and lipstick and, demons.
Yeah. They were like in Morocco.
I have the notes here. I'll give you a quick thing.
OK.
John Cusack is the dad, but then he goes into a coma. Right. And then this guy is a thief and he goes back to 1940s Morocco.
Yeah.
And Zac he meets Efron. A woman. Yeah. Which one?
It's Zac Efron.
Yeah, Zac Efron. And they have a sandal. They work at a sandals resort in Morocco that makes sandals. And Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock are the mothers of the main character. And they are in the 1940s in Morocco. And then you cut back to the current day because there's time travel with this thief guy who's going back and forth. And Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts are in the future, but Julia Roberts works for Jimmy John's, and Sandra Bullock is a nurse, like in While You Were Sleeping, and there's a gold-plated heart with a heart of gold, and yeah.
I feel like I've seen
that. I don't even know why we had to re-explain this. This is very simple. I'm sure everyone remembers perfectly where we are.
I feel like everybody's seen this movie so far, so we're going to have to step up our game, guys.
Yeah, really.
I feel like I've seen this movie 20 times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we were talking about, like, how this is a very random thing that we're coming up with. But then I started thinking about, like, Kate and Leopold or, like, you know, Hugh Jackman's, like, a time-traveling guy. And then City of Angels where Nick Cage is an angel who becomes a man. But then Meg Ryan dies, so he's stuck on Earth as a human, and then he rides a bike down a hill.
You know,
so,
I mean, even if you take out the supernatural kind of stuff, like, even Serendipity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our like, movie's, that's pretty random.
Our movie's not that weird, considering.
Not weird yet. I think we're only...
We're not there yet.
We're, like, a little less than halfway through.
Right now, we're just at, like, lake house level.
Yeah, we decided we're 25 minutes in.
Right. All right, guys, before we continue with the romantic comedy shenanigans.
Yeah.
I think we have another listener question to answer.
We do. The Dead as Hell podcast, at Dead as Hell on Twitter, came up with this horror question. And I've got to say, it's about the most oddly specific question that we've ever received. And it is, in the movie The Ruins, what model cell phone ringer did the plants mimic?
Well, wasn't it a BlackBerry?
No. What model cell phone ringer?
Slow Ride by Foghat, Graceland, like, Paul Simon.
So he's suggesting that the ring is iconic of a certain type of phone.
Oh, okay. That makes a little bit more sense.
And so I don't know, but it doesn't matter what the phone looks like in the movie. It matters what the ringer sounds like.
Wait, some backstory. No phone was ringing. It was the plants mimicking, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's the question is which model cell phone's ringer did the plant mimic?
The G106.
The G106. Like, so yeah. Look, I might have spent, like, I took three different shots at this on Google with different approaches and IMDb trivia and all over. And,
yeah, it wasn't on trivia or Wikipedia or any of that. I searched over.
I figured, like, he found it somewhere. So I'm guessing that the Dead as Hell podcaster, he must have owned the phone that had that as the default ringer or something years ago.
The G106.
The G106, because – so I took three different shots at this on three different days, and each day I spent between 10 and 20 minutes doing nothing but – that's a long time to be Googling, by the way, like 10 to 20 minutes three different times, and I could come up with nothing. No one is talking about this, so I've got nothing.
G106.
The G106. Lazabeth, did you dig anything up about this?
No, I didn't.
I mean – It's like I'm tempted to come back to this guy on Twitter and ask him, like, just point blank, like, okay, dude, what is it? And he'll just be like, oh, I don't know. I was curious. That's why I asked you.
You know what my best ringtone was? DJ, who did a Dop 11 Hurt voice one time. John knows him. Well, all the Johns know him.
Yeah.
But he once sang It's My Life by Bon Jovi onto my phone. Like, this is before flip phones. It was, like, just a little phone that didn't have a flip, but it wasn't, like, a smartphone. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, I had one of those. I remember that.
And he recorded It's My Life by Bon Jovi. And it was like, it's my life, and it's not. So that was my ringtone for about a year.
That's awesome.
It would go off at the most, like, inopportune times, and it would be DJ singing It's My Life by Bon Jovi. You
know, I've got a weird ringtone story. Once, one of my friends, this is when I was like 5-6 years ago living in Lexington, Kentucky. One of my friends got a hold of my phone when I like went to the bathroom. We were just sitting at the bar at happy hour. And then, like, you know, I didn't know he did anything, but later he called me after we parted ways for the evening. And I hear the Mulatto Butts song from Archer. Like, oh, Mulatto Butts, Mulatto Butts.
But you had that ringtone for a long time.
I left it for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. But
the thing is that, like, he put that on there thinking, oh, this is a joke. I'm going to get John Good. And I loved it. I left that thing for years. That went off once when I was in line at the bank, and this lady looks back at me. And I just looked at her like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the Comic-Cons. That thing would go off, like, in the morning. Right? Like, yeah, well, that was your song.
Yeah, I even set it to be my alarm after that.
I would wake up. If we roomed together, I'd wake up to Mulatto Butts.
And then after I'm up, like, and I get out of the shower, you'd wake me up with Bastille.
Oh yeah, for years I Bastille John. So I'd be like, I Bastille'd him. I'd be like, hey, so John, here, click this button, you'll love it. Like, this is a new thing, and then Bastille would pop up. Like, I got you a bunch, didn't I? I did pretty.
You got me like 20 times in three cons.
Yeah, so I used to Bastille him by I used to Pompeii him, I guess is the word. Yeah.
By the way, listeners, if you were at Wizard World shows between like what
2010 and 2015.
There you go. And I stopped in 2014, but like if you were there in that range, you might have walked right by like me or Mark at a Wizard World show, especially Mark. He was at all of them.
Yeah, me Pompeii. You probably heard Pompeii. So whenever you hear Pompeii now, you're probably like, I've heard that before.
You know what ringtone I had for the longest time?
What?
Kenny Loggins. Danger Zone.
Which song?
Danger Zone. Is there
I want the theme song from Caddyshack instead. No. I'm all right. Yeah, you know that song? Don't nobody worry about me.
I had to go Danger Zone.
Hanging with the boys? Do you think they lowered the nets when they played volleyball on Top Gun?
Yeah, they had to. Tom Cruise is way too short.
He neither has a 6-foot vertical. Like, nor is he 7 feet tall.
It's like an 8-foot hoop. I don't know if you guys ever met Walter He was one of the ushers at my wedding, Walter. Oh, John Lazarath, you roomed with him.
Yeah.
You lived in his house. He was like the master of an 8-foot rim, and I hated playing with him because like he would school me on an 8-foot rim, and I would get so pissed off about the whole thing.
So, yeah. 8-foot rim. Why were you guys playing on an 8-foot rim?
Because that's what was
you guys
at
like
his apartment.
Over 6 feet tall.
Well, that's what is at his apartment. So like he's like, you want to go play some ball? I'm like, yeah. So like we would play a lot, but like he like mastered the 8-foot rim. So like when I tried to transition to 10 feet, like people are like, what the hell are you doing?
Okay. So is the answer to this question
G106?
Kenny Loggins eight. And a 7-foot rim.
Yes, yes. Kenny Loggins 8-foot rim.
There we go.
A so, G106.
All right. Yeah. So,
Really quick. What? Do you think they would have figured it out that it was the plants a lot sooner if it was a Kenny Loggins?
Listen, we moved on.
Or
from
do you
the
think they would
like
have thought it was Kenny Loggins?
We moved on
in,
from
down
the plants
there.
A long time ago.
Okay.
So
I think that would have been so specific. They probably would have thought it was a cell phone.
If I'm on that Mexican ziggurat, right, yeah. and I heard Kenny Loggins coming from down there, I might not assume that it was a phone, but I'd be like, there's an electronic device down there that someone turned on.
Yeah,
and I guess I'm going to assume that they're trying to get my attention. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd be still going down there. I'd wonder, are there other electronic devices? Are there tools? It's like, did someone die down there and I can get their stuff? Is there a gun? Like, so I'd go down there still.
Or is Kenny Loggins down there and does he need help?
Yeah. And well, if he is down there,
why would he just say it?
He's a national treasure.
Yeah, but what if he said, I'm all right?
That's true. I'd be like, hey, guys.
I'd be like, right, no, Kenny. You're not, Kenny. I'm going to save you.
Guys,
don't
Kenny Loggins is down there.
To the danger zone.
He's down there, but he doesn't need help.
Don't worry about me.
They're playing volleyball down there.
What are you doing down there? Hanging with the boys.
All right, don't let me bother you.
I just got spiked by Tom Cruise. How is that possible?
It's a plant.
And then they run away, and the movie ends sooner, and not as many die.
All right. All right. So I think we kind of answered that listener question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
G106.
Yeah. All right, Mark. I think I'll hand it off to you to basically continue what we started many moons ago.
So we're on our Moroccan Philadelphian adventure, mm-hmm. and we have a businesswoman, we have her two moms, and then we have a thief whose dad is John Cusack, and he time travels back to Morocco and Philly. And the next question is it a smolder love story or a romantic comedy? So when I talk like smolder love story, I'm talking like Brad Pitt on a boat and Legends of the Fall. Or is it like a romantic comedy? You know what I mean? Where like they kiss at the end. You know what I mean? Like a Tom Hanks, like Meg Ryan, where you know they don't get together at all, and at the end they smooch.
See, would it defeat the purpose of the whole thing? And if instead of a smolder love story, it was like the complete opposite. It's just like a hot flash. Like they're in love for like 5 minutes, but then like the rest of the movie they hate each other.
Well, yeah. Like so, like you know that happens. Yeah. You fall in love, then you get to know each other. So does he decide to stay back in Morocco? Then they decide that they're really not for each other. Like, you know, they have like a brief fling, and he's like, "I'm going to stay in Morocco."
Yeah. Could be like Chocolat, where Johnny Depp just kind of like shows up in the small town, which would be Morocco in this case, and just like decides, you know, I'll stick around for a little bit, but maybe he takes off later. Just like it's not for me.
Didn't Johnny Depp play an Irish guy in that movie?
Who cares? Okay, yeah.
That's one of those movies that the Weinsteins just promoted, and everyone was like, I guess we should love it because the Weinsteins are promoting the hell out of it.
We'll nominate it for an Oscar. They spelled chocolate like, weird.
All right, so for me, like, I don't picture Brad Pitt on a boat, and I know Lazarath has a lot of experience about moaning on boats, mm-hmm. if you listen to the intro. But I don't know. I'm thinking, like, this is going to sound weird, but on that show, The New Girl, it's like a comedy, but there's a scene where Jake Johnson and Zooey Deschanel finally like kiss, and they're these two nerdy characters. But it's actually like a really it's like a sexy moment, you know? Like the two of them like really have a good chemistry, and like when they finally kiss, you're like these two nerds. So it's like it's not like a smolder, and it's not like the traditional thing, but it's like, you know, it sort of hits you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the two actors have good chemistry, so it's like a smolder romantic comedy.
Okay, how about this? Instead of like just one like kind of hot flash, you have like multiple just explosions. Like people fall in love with each other everywhere.
Like menopause. Like, multiple hot flashes. Yeah.
It's like a Michael Bay movie, but with like
with
the,
love.
The explosions aren't just romance.
Explosions of love.
Romance. Yeah. Boom. Boom.
Like you get a car. Yeah. So just romance happens out of nowhere, and there's just hot flashes of romance.
Why not?
I'm with it. I'm down with that.
I'm fine with that. My idea is very vague. My idea is like, look, I want 70% rom-com and only about 30% rom-drama. So that way, like, when the drama hits you, it's not like The Notebook where it feels like you took a graphite baseball bat to the stomach when things get bad. But, you know, like, you don't know if they get together at the very end or in another 10 minutes and there's an hour left in the movie. Like, you don't know how much of this movie is going to be wrenching your guts. So, like... like, I don't want that one. I want one that's a little more uplifting, where when they fight, it's like The Vow. Like, they're fighting, but it's Channing Tatum and Rachel McAdams, and they have those smiles. Like, they'll be back together in 10 minutes of screen time.
So is this like Sid and Nancy Met the Notebook, where, like, it's like two fighting couples, but then, like, when in The Notebook, when they did, like, get together, like, it was really passionate, but so they're fighting.
But like, I don't want the intensity of the fights, The Notebook.
No, just, yeah, make it a little bit more lighthearted.
I imagine, like, Love Actually meets Pacific Rim.
Yes. Like, but Pacific Rim of like, Love.
When Hugh Grant dancing as the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Love Actually meets Pacific Rim. But see, the problem is you don't really care about the characters in Pacific Rim or the robots. So,
but that's where Love Actually comes in.
Between people we don't know anything about.
That's where,
like,
Love Actually
comes in. Are the main characters hanging out, then you cut to the left and there's a like a side character just like going at it?
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
In all fairness, I cared very much about the robots. I just didn't care if the people inside them lived or died.
So, yeah, I don't think anybody did.
Don't scratch the paint.
It's like Jurassic World. You don't remember any of the characters' names, but you remember Blue, like the name of the dinosaurs.
The raptor. Yeah,
that's not true.
I remember Blue, and I remember Jessica Chastain running in high heels in the woods.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, we talked about that.
A younger Jessica Chastain.
Like Jessica Chastain turned down the role, so she took it.
Yeah.
What, did they really want a redhead?
Yeah, it's a Jessica Chastain light. All right, so I like Love Actually meets Pacific Rim. So I like
that kind of love story.
Like, do they destroy, like, a lot of property when they have their hot flashes?
Yeah.
It could be, but when they do, you're not, like, getting all teary-eyed. You're you're just frustrated.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, when they finally do figure out that they're both spies and they have that, like, that big scene where they finally, like, hook up and destroy the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Yeah. Like, let's make their fights fun.
Okay, so Love Actually meets
If you get teary-eyed from watching this, it was because the 3D was so awesome.
So between Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Wait, is it in 3D?
Yeah. Why would it be?
I mean, the time travel. Like, we have, like, 2001 time travel.
That's true.
It's 4D. It's time travel. It's 4D.
Oh, 4D.
Because it's in time travel.
I love it.
This movie writes itself.
Does it?
All right. Does it? All right, so,
it sounds like it.
So right now we have John Cusack is in a coma. That. The guy is going back and forth between 1940s Morocco and Philly. And he loves a hard-nosed businesswoman who works at a sandals resort that makes sandals in Morocco. And so maybe when he time travels back and forth, she's so mad at him that he leaves that when he comes back, they have, like, a passionate thing.
Yeah!
He's like, I was visiting my dad. She's like, I don't care. You weren't here. So then they have a Pacific Rim scene, which could sound pretty gross, Pacific Rim, if you think about it. Like, all right, good. So the next one is, so we already saw this, but we could add stuff to it. Does it involve time travel, Groundhog Day shenanigans, amnesia, or just regular love stuff?
Yes.
Well, I think we discussed a little bit of all of that, didn't we?
No, I do think it's good between two humans because, like, if you add, like, Jupiter Ascending, Mila Kunis falls in love with, like, a dog boy.
Oh, my God.
And Channing Tatum's, like, a dog boy. Like, he's literally a dog. And she's like, Mila Kunis is like, I love dogs. So she's, like,
literally
accepting she's going to, you know, hook up with a dog boy. And then there's, like, Spring where this guy falls in love with, like, this immortal creature that's all gooey. You know, it all gets kind of weird, and there's a lot of problems. What podcast is that, John?
Oh, God. A Creepin' Spring. I actually don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you listen to our Spring one. So I think it's good just – so we have time travel, but it should stay between two humans.
Yeah, I would say don't bring in bestiality into this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no bestiality.
You don't want to see bestiality in 3D?
No, in 4D. Like,
and if you saw, like, being there, remember Chance the Gardener, Peter Sellers? He's very slow, and, like, the first woman wants to hook up with him, and it's, like, a very awkward scene.
Yeah.
So it should be, like, two normal humans.
Yeah, like, not one of them has, like, a mental illness, you mean?
Yeah, like, it's not Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you don't have Mila Kunis, like, gazing into Channing Tatum's enchanting eyes, talking about feelings and passion. He just like stares at her blankly, like, I'm actually genetically more dog than human. And you're just like, ugh.
And then she goes, I like dogs. And you're supposed to forget that. Like, she likes this guy.
Like, she's going to scratch his ribs and he's going to start picking his leg or something.
All right, so we got – all right, so they're humans. So it's just regular old love stuff.
So all our listeners who are nervous, like, are these going to be humans? They are going to be humans.
Okay, so they're humans. And they're can we – add a scene where Bill Murray just punches the guy in the background so we can have some Groundhog Day good stuff.
I think that's okay with me.
What do you guys think?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so you know how like Sandra Bullock in present day is like, or yeah, like all Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman are just popping up with no dialogue in the present day? Can we just have Bill Murray punching a guy in the background while Nicole Kidman is, no, not Nicole Kidman, Julia Roberts is delivering Jimmy John's?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Jimmy John's.
Wait, can he punch her off a bike? No, that wouldn't work. You can't have Bill Murray punching.
There should be, like, a Bill Murray punching scene in the background, like, in every time period that they visit.
Okay, yeah. Like, yeah, so
it's never explained, like, how he gets there or why he's there. He's just, like, in the background punching somebody out.
I love it.
What is that? Wasn't that in like Austin Powers where it was like the same old janitor guy who was like back in like when they flash back to it was Austin Powers and Goldmember where they like flash back. It's the old janitor laughing at Austin because his dad didn't show up. And then like then it flashes forward to the future and it happens again. It's the same old janitor.
Like, yeah, so it's Bill Murray. Bill Murray's the janitor.
There you go.
He like cleans up at the hospital. Then he cleans up at the gin joint that makes sandals in the sandals resort.
Yeah,
that's he knocks Morocco. People out.
There you go.
Yeah. I love it. All right, cool. So next one is: are there multiple love stories, like Love Actually, or is there one love story like Annie Hall?
I feel like we skimmed this a little bit.
Yeah,
though.
So yeah, we're just doing one love story, correct?
Well, we're doing one love story, but there's sides. But like maybe like the two mothers of our female lead. Like, maybe our two mothers are kind of drifting apart at some point, and they could come back together. Like, that could be something. Like, maybe when they're antagonistic of their daughter's new love interest, but then as they see her falling in love, they're, like, reminded of the things that they love about each other, and it brings them closer. And maybe even some Cusack wisdom can cue into there, like, when they're saying, you keep your son away from our daughters, and he says something, or I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
No, I love it. And then, like, because, I mean, being a couple, you know, Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts, being a couple in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s in Morocco, you know, it makes you tough, right?
Yeah. They're fighting a good fight, though.
What was the Matthew McConaughey movie with where Failure to Launch?
Oh, brother.
I mean, like, they had two best friends that had that little side story. What was it? Justin Bartha and
Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel, yeah. They had, like, that weird little love thing going on the side.
So we could have that with Julia and Sandra?
Sure.
Yeah. Or could we have it with Bill Murray and Zooey Deschanel?
It's just everybody's
everybody. It's just all of them.
Yeah, add her too.
Yeah, why not?
All right, so we got two couple. We have a rekindle love affair and Bill Murray, Zooey Deschanel. I don't know how that works, but
solid gold is how it works.
Yeah, that's right. I just want to see that. All right, perfect. So next one, where's the first kiss? Where does our time traveling thief kiss his hard nosed businesswoman?
I want an exact recreation of the kiss from Spider-Man.
one of them's hanging upside down, yeah. But maybe it's the girl this time.
But like he's wearing like a Spider-Man suit for no reason.
Maybe he wants to recreate it with her. Like you know, he saw the movie already.
That's her favorite movie.
Wait, does she time travel?
No, I think it's his favorite movie.
Does he bring DVDs back into the 40s and watch
them
with
her?
Yeah,
she's like, what is this technology that you're showing me? I'm used to records and radios. Yeah. What's an HDMI cable?
But I feel like that'd be like a nice gift for like the Spider-Man fans watching the movie. Like, oh, yeah.
Well, because he shows her Spider-Man and she's like, man, if I was born in the future, I would love this movie. And he's like, just love it now and love me. And then he does it for her. Like he flips like, over.
Like she's standing in the rain.
He comes from the future with a DVD player and a DVD, right?
Right.
If it's a Region 1 DVD player, but he brings it back to 1920s Morocco, which is like, I don't know, Region 3.
Something, yeah.
Does the region limitations matter back then?
No.
No, I don't think so. Regions don't matter.
Yeah.
Oh no, wait, that's right, because the DVD and the DVD player are from the same place. Never mind. Bad idea.
You would have to plug it in somewhere. You need an adapter, a universal adapter to plug it into Morocco.
There you go.
Well, wait, if it's 1940s, they don't even have TVs yet. So he's going to bring a TV, so all they need is an outlet.
Wait, what about a laptop?
Well, they have TVs, they're just not mainstream yet. Wait, 1933 World Fair is when the first TV was out.
How long is that Apple laptop?
Wouldn't you have to bring your own TV? Because it's not going to plug into one of those.
Like one of those. Wait, but how long is the Apple laptop, like, computer battery run for?
I don't know. You don't want to chance a battery. What if it dies?
Yeah, you don't want to be halfway through Spider-Man.
I mean, I guess if you find an outlet and you can bring a plug, it's not a big deal. They had outlets then, didn't
Listen,
they?
The first kiss of Spider-Man happens like halfway through the movie. If your battery can last like an hour, you're good to go.
I'm just saying they're going to plug it in. They're going to plug it in. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
There's this TV show called You're the Worst on FX.
Yeah.
And there was a promo for it where the guy and the girl, like, they're doing the Spider-Man kiss. They're recreating it. And the guy's upside down. And after she kisses him, he says, you know, if you just lowered me 3 more feet.
I love You're the Worst, man. That's a good show.
I just saw that promo, like, 2 days ago. What good timing.
So, to show how much our movie has changed, I had the first kisses watching Say Anything in a Drive-In, which is impossible in 1940s Morocco.
Yeah.
So, I guess watching Spider-Man from a TV and DVD player that he brings back to Morocco, they like it. She's amazed by the wizards on the TV screen. And then
I'm wondering if someone looks through the window, sees them watching this sorcery take place.
Do they think they're looking through another window or something? Like, do they just, that's what they assume that is.
Okay, so we have a Spider-Man. How's he hanging upside down? Or how is the female or him hanging upside down?
Ropes. Okay. Just a lot of ropes.
Web cartridges. He's a time traveler. He just went to like the year 2060, got some web cartridges,
which are a huge hit in that.
Yeah, it was big in the 60s. Wait, so who's hanging upside down?
It'd be like 2060.
She's a hard-nosed businesswoman.
Yeah, she's a hard-nosed one. It'd be the guy.
Okay, so the guy.
Or switched up, make it the girl.
Well, that's why I said it, make it the girl. But if she's, I mean, I guess if she does like Spider-Man a lot, he could be like, look, I have some ropes. Yeah. It's raining outside. Would you like to? And then she's like, of course.
Charlie Bronson's always got ropes. Yeah, yeah.
And then they just go into an alley in Morocco and just flip her over and have at it.
Okay, so the girl's hanging upside down, and they have at it with ropes.
Sorry, that was too romantic. I meant they kiss.
They have at it? Yeah. They just go for it.
They just go.
Yeah.
They just do it.
Yeah. Are you guys done yet?
So the first kiss is her hanging upside down in 1940s Morocco via ropes.
Of course.
That's good.
I like it. Perfect. So the next one is, do the characters break up, try other people, but then realize they were meant to be together? So for me, there's a movie called Beginners with Melanie Laurent and Ewan McGregor that I love. And the term beginners is not about like – it's about the two of them. Like they meet cute, right? And they fall in love. And like normally like when you meet cute and do all that, you kind of break up at the first sign of trouble. But the term beginners means it's the beginning for the both of them to actually like try to stay together to make it work. Does that make sense? Like they'd always like ran away from relationships, but this is the first time that they were beginning to like – you know, accept the bumps and bruises. So I kind of like that. Like, you don't need a Cary Elwes, liar, liar, Baxter.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like that. I don't know. I like the two of them working. Because, I mean, we're literally flipping back and forth between Philly and Morocco. And we have a Bill Murray, Zooey Deschanel, Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock side love stories.
But I feel like that happens in, like, most romance movies, right? Like, where they usually do try somebody else out. There's always, like, a montage or something of them, like, dating other people. Sometimes they're, like, a total asshole. But sometimes they're not. Like, An Affair to Remember with Deborah Kerr and Cary Grant. She started dating some other guy. He was actually nice. Kind of felt bad for him.
Well, now I want the montage.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, in that movie, like, Crazy that I love with Anton Yelchin and Felicity Jones – like they live on either side, you know, England and America, and he starts dating Jennifer Lawrence, you know, but obviously he's in love with Felicity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like she's kind of cool about it. So like I guess we could add something like that. Maybe he can't time travel for a while. So who does he meet? Does he have a love triangle with Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah, in the 40s.
In the 40s? So what's she doing there?
Oh, wait. You mean like a literal Zooey Deschanel? You mean like the actress? He has a fling with the actress?
Like, no, we don't even need her. But like, who does he meet and where?
No, I think he should come to this time period, meets Zooey Deschanel at like some movie preview, and just starts hitting it up, and he just dates her for a little while and decides, like, maybe.
It turns out that she's the nurse of John Cusack while he's in his coma in present-day Philadelphia.
Wait, are we talking real Zooey?
Yeah. Like, no. She's playing the character. She's playing the character.
Wait, Zooey's playing the character of Zooey?
How about this? I'm okay with a real Zooey.
There's a Zooey character and then Zooey herself. So there's two.
There's two Zoeys.
Yeah. So he dates two Zooey characters?
No. He just dates... Okay. Yeah, he dates Zooey Deschanel first, right? And he's like, this is huge.
The person or the character?
No, like the actual actress.
Oh, so, dear, I've gone across.
So he breaks up...
she breaks up with him because she's just too busy with movie making.
Okay.
So
okay.
he goes and he just visits his father and he's like, I'm sorry.
But then
like,
he meets a girl who
looks exactly like
her.
Who's played by Zooey Deschanel.
I have no problem with Zooey Deschanel, but is she really busy movie making?
Well, that's what the excuse
is. New Girl, she has a TV show.
Yeah, that's what it is.
24 episodes.
They just got picked up for a ninth season by this time, or wherever he met her.
Is that how long that's been out?
Well, I think it's on its fourth.
Yeah. But
it's in syndication right now.
I figured this is taking place in 5 years from now.
I feel like that's such a great loophole, though. Like, he breaks up with a girl. He meets a girl who's played by the same girl.
But we had Bill Murray dating that girl, too.
That's true. Yeah,
so we have three Zooeys in this movie?
Wait, both of them are nurses, though, right? There's two nurses and then the actress.
So we have two twin Zooeys?
No. It's triplets.
We have to have at least two for twins.
Okay,
because Bill Murray.
Listen, there's the actual Zooey Deschanel. All
right.
Yeah.
There's a character played by Zooey Deschanel.
But that looks like Zooey Deschanel because it's her.
Yeah. And then what was the third one?
The other one is the other nurse that Bill Murray gets with, right?
Who's also played by Zooey Deschanel.
Well, remember how Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane was like, I'm not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, we could have like a little kind of break the third wall or fourth wall and say, you know, no, I'm not Zooey Deschanel. I'm just a nurse taking care of your dad.
So wait, is this the first time in the history of the world that we can say that we Kareemed Abdul-Jabbar'd Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah, we broke the fourth wall with her.
We broke a fifth wall.
Yeah, there's two of her.
Okay.
Well, I thought there was three of her.
Yeah, there's three.
I meant two that aren't the actress.
Yeah. I lost count.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Whatever makes sense now.
None of it makes sense.
I know.
Okay, perfect. And then how do they break up and he goes back to his woman in Morocco?
Time travel stuff.
The nurse goes away to World War III. And gets shipped off. Gets shipped off to World War III.
Wait, both nurses. The World War III starts up, and he goes, "I'm going back to World War II."
But yeah, he's like, "I can't deal with this. I'm more into sequels."
So he's like, "I got like another 70 years before this thing breaks out."
Yeah, she's like, "We have to go off to war to help people." And he's like, "All right, forget it. I'm going back in time, back to my baby." My Spider-Man baby.
I love it. All right, perfect. And then, so our last one is, do the main characters go to war? Which obviously
we already answered that.
They avoid war.
Well, they avoid war.
Oh.
I say in 5 years from now, when season 9 of New Girl is coming out, World War III breaks out, not because of New Girl, just because it happens. They go off to war. He avoids World War III, goes back towards World War II times. Meets up in Morocco again.
I like how you specified that World War III didn't start because of New Girl.
No, well, I want to make sure.
Any listener would think, with the New Girl controversy, of course, it's like World War.
Yeah, is this like an interview thing where like the New Girl goes to like Germany and or Russia and pisses off Putin or something like that?
I'm just saying we don't know what season 9 of New Girl is going to bring us. It could or could not start a World War III.
Yeah.
Okay? I just want to have the bases covered.
Historians look back. The pivotal
If I'm a betting man, this is not a 50-50 even split, though.
Okay. Yeah, so how do we end the movie?
Yeah.
They're in Morocco.
Yeah.
How do our main characters end up?
How did Spider-Man 1 end? Spider-Man just like...
Well, she became an actress, Goblin. Right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So she could become like a... Weren't there war shows where like they performed in front of the soldiers?
Yeah, the U.S.
Yeah,
shows.
She... Yeah. Wait, shit. Oh. No, he's talking about like she performed like on stage and stuff, right?
Yeah, but she goes to do like USO shows, right?
Okay.
In Morocco. And then what's he? He's still a thief.
Yeah.
But does he steal all the art from the Nazis?
I think he gives up, like Monuments Men or something. That classic romance film.
They love art.
Wait, like, well, no, wouldn't he give up his thief, his thievery?
His thiefdom?
His thiefdom.
So then does he just tour with her and acts as her manager?
Yeah, sure, that's a legit job. Yeah. He's like, I'm tired of this thievery.
I'm going to go into managing
managing this the love of my life.
Okay.
Because every story where the love interest becomes the manager of a star works out well.
I just want to say, however this movie ends, like, because remember at the end of Spider-Man 1, you had that Chad Kroeger song. And they say, there was like a hero.
Yeah.
The song that plays in the credits.
Or, and I'll just throw this out here, we don't have to do that. What if it's something, like, I mean, you guys want the happy ending, but if we want to go the tragic way, it could be something along the lines of, as they're escaping Morocco, because...
Well, the Chad Kroeger song could also be...
That would be, yeah, that would definitely not be happy either. But they leave Morocco on a boat, kind of like, almost like Alfred Hitchcock's Lifeboat, and they're like trying to get away, except like it crashes and gets sunk by like a Nazi submarine. They sink and they're on a lifeboat. Right. Nazi Kraken.
Oh,
a Kraken that appears from our horror film.
Yeah.
Get a little tie-in.
Oh, man.
And then one of them's freezing in the water and like Jack and sinks to the bottom.
Oh, I feel like he would just leave her to time travel again.
Oh, that's true. He would just time travel out of there. Leave her
go
behind.
To, like, the '70s.
She freezes. She freezes in the Moroccan waters.
Why is there an iceberg here?
Yeah, it simultaneously got hit by a Nazi sub and an iceberg.
This comes back to the fact that he can time travel and teleport. Because if he could just time travel, he'd be time traveling in
taking
the same
an iceberg
exact
with
spot.
Him?
No, but he has to teleport, right? Because he's going between Philly and Morocco.
Yeah, he's,
so
a,
he's
oh,
trying
yeah.
to teleport.
I forgot there are icebergs in Philly.
He's a jumping time traveler. Okay.
Yeah, he's like a jumper. He's like Hayden Christensen, but cooler.
Okay.
I think we should redeem Hayden Christensen and let him be the lead in this movie.
No, let's not do that.
Well, can he give coffees to the
Look,
lead?
Even though he was work on the still set. Really whiny... I think he absolutely owned the movie Shattered Glass.
That was a good
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, he did. Actually, I liked that movie.
Like, that's the one movie where I absolutely love him.
It was a good script.
Yeah, I think it actually was the script that helped him. Because in Star Wars, his acting was horrible, and I'll admit, like, those scripts weren't the best. So, like...
Actually, very few people acted really well.
In Star Wars.
In the
like, there's, like, prequels. Oscar winners in Star Wars, and they were, you know, terrible.
It was mostly just stiff.
Yeah, even Ewan McGregor was trying like his best.
Like, it was just like
some of the stuff he said.
My uncle is a playwright.
Cringe.
He used to be in New York, but like when I think of the acting in the Star Wars movies, I think of when you're just invited by like you know your family member director to witness a reading of the script.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of the emotion is just there's no hamming it up. The emotion is just muted. So we must go stop the Sith.
There's a scene that I remember Attack of the Clones opening night, packed theater. And I remember there's a scene where Hayden Christensen's like tinkering with some little thing. He's like, I like to fix things. And then he throws it near the other room. And I just went, ow. Like that. And the entire theater just like busted out laughing.
Yeah. Right. Like there was like a little baby wampa over there.
Yeah, so he hit something with what he threw. All right, so here's our movie. We start off in Philly. And it is a thief and John Cusack. John Cusack goes into a coma, right? The thief goes back to Morocco.
To 1920s.
Yeah, 40s.
40s.
Pre-war, and meets a woman who's at a sandals club where they make sandals, and her parents are Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock. He keeps going back and forth between his dad and his love interest, and... there's a crooked gigolo in here somewhere. But then, so he goes to the future, and Julia Roberts is delivering Jimmy John's for some reason. Sandra Bullock's a nurse. He meets with his dad. He meets two Zooey Deschanels, the real Zooey Deschanel, then Zooey Deschanel playing an actress who looks like Zooey Deschanel. And then Bill Murray is the janitor who dates Zooey Deschanel. And then eventually World War III breaks out. and he goes back to the past, but then there's some very, like, you know, explosive Love Actually meets Pacific Rim love scenes. They're humans. Then they have a Spider-Man kiss upside down, some more explosive Pacific Rim passion. And then they stay together. He leaves the future. His dad dies. They get on the ocean. A Kraken attacks their boat. She freezes because of an iceberg. And he time travels to the 70s.
And it's just a sad ending, but it like really tugs on the heartstrings.
But you know what? You know what like relieves the sadness of the ending is that he goes to like 1972, and it's like when they change scenes in those Austin Powers movies, and there's just the dancers and the flashing flowers and lights, and then it just turns to that before the credits, so you like forget that you're sad.
Although, if he could time travel, can't he just time travel before the boat sank?
I don't think he cares that much.
Okay. Never mind.
Oh.
Wait, he doesn't care about her that much?
Cold as ice.
Ooh, that's the song that plays during the credits. Cold as ice.
So there's a trick where you can time travel once, but you can't time travel back in time from when you initially time traveled.
It's like that thing in Galaxy Quest.
How about this? Like, you can time travel, but here's the caveat.
Yeah.
It has to be a longer jump than, like, your previous jump. Say, like, your last jump was, like, 2 minutes in the past. Or your next destination has to be, like...
Wait. Then he couldn't bounce back and forth between his love interest and
you can bounce back and forth. It's just the gap has to be, like, longer.
You're saying bigger.
Yeah.
But then he would just travel...
A year and a second. A year and 2 seconds. Yeah. A year and 3 seconds.
Yeah. See you in a year.
But he would just time travel to, like, 1939 and meet her back in Morocco.
Don't think too hard about it. Just let it happen.
Wait, is he going to save her or not from this freezing to death?
It sounds like she's Kraken food.
Yeah. What if the Kraken eats her?
I think it should be like kind of Titanic where for some reason maybe like during the whole this ship sinking, his time travel mechanism or whatever he uses, the time travel breaks. He can only do it one more time. He time travels out of there, gets the 70s, ends up in the 70s, can't go back to save her. It's sad. And, like, that's just – it kind of just ends like that. But he remembers something his dad said on the bed, like, when he was in a coma about, like, just letting go of the past or something. And that's it.
Yeah, don't say anything.
It's like the beginning of Shallow Hal where he's like, don't marry the one you love. Sleep with many women.
Yep. That's what it is. And then it just kind of fades to black. And then we get either Cold as Ice or Chad Kroeger.
So the rom-com drum has lost the rom and the com.
So...
Or it can end on a high note, and he could say, like, oh, wait, I know how to fix this, and then it just stops. Like, that's how it ends. So he knows how to fix the whole situation, but we don't get to see
there
it. Is.
There it goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe he sees her across the dance floor. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Or he thinks he's in 1972, but he actually is in 1939, and he sees her across the dance floor, and he's like, oh, shit.
1972 and 1939.
This is a really hip Moroccan dance bar.
Oh, okay.
You've never been to either, so how do you
neither
know?
I do.
I'm just saying, don't say nay. You don't know. You don't know the difference.
I'm not going to say yay either.
So how about this? Like, something happens where he like finds something in his pocket where he can time travel again, or he sees her, and then it just cuts to black.
Yeah, like one more time. He's like, oh, shit, it wasn't broken. And then that's it. It just cuts.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. That's actually
But now he has
good.
To live knowing that there's Krakens in this universe.
Yeah, but he gets to be with the one he loves, so who cares?
I like it. Perfect. So there's still hope at the end.
Yeah, now he's just scared of water. That's it.
Well, only water that's deep enough to have a Kraken in it. That's he's true. Still good with pools.
Oh, yeah, he likes
going
pools.
To the beach.
In fact, they get a pool. That's like the end credit scene is them buying a pool because they don't want to go in the ocean.
Throughout the years, and they have like a sweet swimming pool.
Yeah, they don't want to go in the ocean anymore. That's like the joke. Like, oh, we don't want to deal with those Krakens anymore.
Because you get a main cool shot of them with like Nintendo 3D.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That's a
all
pretty
right.
good one.
All right, guys. So we reached the end of our movie.
They live happily after with a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We reached the end of our movie and we reached the end of our podcast. It was, it was a wild ride.
Yeah, it was.
It really was a wild ride.
A torrid affair.
Yeah.
That should be the name of the movie.
Tour, it's like what? Tour a Tour d'Affair, colon. What love story do you know that has a Kraken?
All right, guys, before we sign off, do we want to make any plugs? Yes, you want to make plugs.
Me?
Movies, films, and flicks. Yeah. Shark Dropper. Right. Hey, guys, if you like our podcast, if you like movies, films, and flicks, go on iTunes. Give us, you know, a rating, review, whatever you feel like giving us. Also, check in to Blog Talk Radio. Follow Shark Dropper. They got great original content. John Levengood just started a podcast called Quads with John, where it's basically just him talking about how he builds his quads every day. Yeah. It's pretty great. I mean, it's basically podcast. Just... Yeah, it's probably like one of the most popular podcasts. Yeah. I'll give you an excerpt. I did squats today. I drank protein. I walked a little bit. It was good.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the first time in about 10 episodes, I think, that weightlifting has come into play.
Quads with John.
It used to be like every episode, way back like the first 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now that Robert's on here, obviously weightlifting is
definitely a hot topic.
Wait, hold on. It's occurring to me. Did we get through an entire podcast episode without, notwithstanding this moment, Kurt Russell?
No, we talked about Kurt Russell in the first
episode. We did? Okay, did screw it.
Yeah.
Okay. Almost.
It might be kind of hard to tell because, like, it's all...
Sometime it'll happen, right?
No.
Well, we just did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, the second half.
Notwithstanding that moment, like, did we talk about Kurt Russell earlier?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the intros, right? Did I not intro it right?
Yeah.
Because you did. That's right. That's right. The intros. All right. Kurt Russell remains... I was going to...
Yeah. His integrity is strong.
He's the Lou Gehrig of a podcast.
That doesn't end well.
Yeah, that doesn't. He's going to get Russell's disease.
I wouldn't mind getting that.
Oh, you wouldn't want Russell's disease.
Yeah, no, I want Russell's disease. All right, guys. For my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Hi.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Usually he says something after he says his name. John Levengood.
Have a good night, everybody.
And special guest, Robert Lamb.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Robert provided the Kraken for this episode.
That's right.
The good tie-in to our horror one.
I've been your host, John Lawson. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! 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 This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.
Oh my god!
Listen. If we were like 20 minutes in the podcast, I wouldn't have stopped it.
Oh, what a waste. Right, now we gotta listen to it again.
I love this song.
It's a decent song.
Look at my koozie. Do you see my koozie?
No. Yeah, Freddy.
Movies, films, and flicks.
Movies, films, and flicks.